Title of my message is The Cause of Our Musical Blindness. The Cause of Our Musical Blindness. I am asking the Lord to prayerfully reveal to me the message for the moment, because there aren't many moments left in 2018 for this theme. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to stop learning what biblical music is, because quite frankly, we haven't touched much on biblical music. We've talked on biblical worship. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." That can only happen when you read it. In all wisdom. Doesn't mean in all stupidity and in all ignorance. Teaching and admonishing one another. What is the reason for music? Music, period. Because God created it. Not easy listening. What's the purpose of music? To teach one another and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the purpose of music. Singing with grace in your hearts to each other. No, to the Lord. So that eliminates just about what we would call entertainment. Now, that is probably the most radical thing you've ever heard. You mean I should avoid all musical entertainment? I didn't write that verse. God did. Ephesians 5. And again, we could read before and after for context, and we should, and we probably will, but not for tonight. Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine." Everybody get that? All right, that's simple right across the plate. "Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." God's Spirit, capital S. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, we didn't camp on just about any of those words this morning when we looked at our rubric. But if you remember, one of the three Trinitarian components of music is melody. It just so happens to be right there. Coincidence, right? No. So when it comes to our music, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spirit songs, singing and making melody in your heart, again, to the Lord, the things that we're speaking and the things that we're singing ought to be pleasing. Philippians chapter 4. How pleasing? What is the rubric of pleasure? When it comes to entertainment, when it comes to literature, when it comes to art, when it comes to photography, movies, when it comes to music, what is our grid? Is it good? Is it true? Is it beautiful? Where does that come from? Philippians 4:8. And all three must be there simultaneously. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." The cause of our musical blindness. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this evening asking for your wisdom, direction, and guidance. Lord, we are in a galactic spiritual warfare. The most intense war in the universe. Related to our worship. Lord, that's what we're created for. to worship you. Not anything else. No one else. And yet, the devil's deception and detour is all about alternative worship. Guide us and direct us this evening. For those that couldn't be with us, for those that are traveling, for those that are sick or ill, for those that are recovering, for those that are mourning, I think of Mary and her family and extended family, for Robert and his family. Be with them in a special way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1, the cause of our musical blindness. 2 Peter chapter 1. Every Friday night we have Reformers Unanimous, which is an addictions program, which is basically not named properly. RU is nothing more than discipleship. And we looked at this particular passage of Scripture Friday night. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. So he's obviously writing to believers, to followers of Christ, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. And cannot see afar off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We said this morning that music is probably the number one stronghold in all of our lives. Verse number 3, according to divine providence, the Lord has given us all things, that includes music, that pertain to life and godliness. So music that does not pertain to life and godliness is bad music. Can I say that? It's not good. Therefore, the opposite of good would be bad. Excellent. Therefore, those things that are at our disposal is under our God-ordained stewardship, needs to be meticulously managed and watched over, including music. Verse 4. We might be partakers of his divine nature. You know what that means? To be like Christ. We don't have to imitate Christ. According to this passage of Scripture, we can be given God's divine nature. Hallelujah. Amen? Because you're all a bunch of cusses. Weren't we? Weren't we a bunch of thugs? Spiritually speaking. I mean, we might have looked pretty on the outside. And dainty and all that stuff. And some of us weren't. Some of us were just downright ornery. But thanks be to God for his abundant mercy wherewith he saved us. He has given us great and precious promises. By these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. If that be true, what set of ears would be listening to the wrong things if we have the divine nature? What eyes would be watching the wrong things? What mouth would be saying the wrong thing if we had a divine nature? It says we have that possibility. We could be rescued and liberated from the corruption, the filth, the sensuality, the deception, the crime, the exploitation, the fraud, the extortion, the profiteering, and crookedness that is in the world through lust. Isn't that what it says? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is lust? Excessive passion. Have you ever seen excessive passion? Right. So we can escape, can be rescued and recovered from the world and all of that stuff. What is lust? Carnal, fleshly, lewd, greed, sensuality, covetousness, eroticism, lewdness, including and certainly not excluding music. Why would we even think that music doesn't apply? Of course it applies. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Even in the mall bathrooms. Even pulling up to Dairy Queen. Music playing. Right? It's everywhere. Verse 5 through 7 lists what I call essential additives. You know, you pull up and you get your gasoline. It's got those little stickers. And says, these are the additives in your gasoline. Wonderful. So God says here in verses 5 through 7 that there are essential additives to the foundation of our faith. What are they? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. How do these ingredients add to your Christian maturity? Are these ingredients in your musical selections personally and corporately as a church? Regarding your music, does it have anything to do with faith? Does it have anything to do with virtue? Does it have anything to do with knowledge? Does it have anything to do with patience or temperance or godliness or brotherly kindness or charity? Now it says, add to your faith these things. So these are things that God doesn't necessarily divinely appropriate through you. These are things God's expecting you to do on your own. God's asking us to be patient. But the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And I hate to say, as everybody says, don't pray for patience because you'll be like Job and God will give you tribulation. Tribulation's coming, period. For all that will love godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So these are additives that aren't options. And we wonder where the blindness comes from. The blindness essentially comes from the lack of these things. Verse 8. These eight additives will make you fertile and fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what verse 8 says. Then it says in verse 9, blindness, darkness, lack of discernment, and vision results from a failure to remember. Remember what? Let's read that again. But he that lacketh these things, the eight ingredients, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten. What has he forgotten? That he, she was purged. You were purged from your old sins. We fail to remember our need of redemption and our continued need for redemption. You say, Pastor, I've been saved once. That's all I need. Good. Did you sin today? Do you have a bad thought today? No, seriously. Do we need a continual Savior? Of course we do. Are we in the presence of sin? Yes. Saved from the penalty of sin. Praise the name of Jesus. But the presence of sin? Still here. We fail to remember that we need the Savior every single moment. Where does our spiritual blindness musically come from? Tooling down the road. I don't like that station. I don't like that song. I don't like that. Forget that. I'm just going to put on my iPod, my iPad, my phone. Some people cannot live without the music playing. This is not the sermon for entertainment, for literature and art and all that other stuff. We're focusing on music and we're talking about why are we musically blind? Well, this is a pretty good start. Let's go to Hebrews 5. I mentioned Hebrews 5 this morning. I wish I would have, in my mentioning Hebrews 5, shown a little bit more love and compassion. Hebrews 5. Are for our spectators, Christian spectators. Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have many things to say. Context, our high priest, that would be Jesus. And hard to be uttered, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, leaders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, the list goes on and on and on. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Give me the bottle. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a spiritual, not necessarily a chronological babe, but he's acting like a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. You're not going to give steak to a 6-month-old. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Could I just get my red stamp and stamp my Bible with the word music? Music! We're a bunch of babes. We've chosen to be. And the devil's so excited. We couldn't punch our way out of a paper bag regarding biblical music. Verse 11. Need exists for much teaching, which is deep, penetrating, convicting, and eye-opening. Unfortunately, we are shallow, slow, simple, dumb, dense, ignorant, hard of hearing. We're unteachable, unreceptive, and essentially unapproachable. Do you know anybody like that regarding music?
Oh, don't talk to me about church music. I've heard everything about me.
I know pastors that say that. I've heard everything about music. Don't talk to me about music. Whoa. Really? You've got the corner on music then? So you and the devil, you got it all pat. Verse 12. In due time, your place is to teach and pass on biblical truth of substance. Yet you are unprepared, unlearned, unable, unskillful, and untrained. Your knowledge base is as shallow as a baby Christian. You are totally unprepared for thoughtful theological substance, as well as having a lack of depth or detail of fundamental Christianity. That's the Richard Scheer version. I've been there. And regarding music, maybe we feel like that ourselves. Now, you might be good regarding the King James Bible. You might be good for salvation. You might be great on eternal security. You might be great on, I don't know, voodoo and the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. But what about music? Really, this is where the rubber meets the road. There's nothing more important in our personal walk with God than worship. Verse 13. By our own limitations, it is obvious that we are a novice. We're unskilled, we're incompetent, we're inexperienced, we're inept, inadequate, uneducated, unqualified, unschooled, undeveloped, unable to consider or to handle anything above an infant level of biblical knowledge, training, experience, apologetic, or wisdom. Verse 14. An analogy was made that adult food is clearly for those who have developed into adults, both physiologically and spiritually. This process of maturity comes through using, exploring, studying, teaching, debating, exercising one's spiritual senses by the Word of God and the Spirit of God in order not to be blind. And by doing so, we will be able to discern both good and evil. Isn't that good? Come on, I'm trying to encourage you. I didn't write this. God did. So God's reminding us that indifference and lethargy and complacency happens. Water always goes to its lowest level. So do Christians. We got to be salmon. Got to swim upstream all the time. All the time. Because the battle never stops. Never stops. One more passage of scripture, I'm done. The cause of our musical blindness. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Now, before we touch on Revelation 3, you know where I'm going. Just a word of testimony. In my closet, that's what my office looks like, a closet. In my office, I have an entire shelf of books on music, as well as hymn books, Methodist hymn book and Baptist. But I've got books on music. What's wrong with contemporary music? Why I got out of the contemporary music thing, the And there was a book on my shelf that I never read because the author was made fun of by the church that I came from. Isn't that sad? That book's been on my shelf for 20 years. I haven't looked at it, haven't touched it. Because he got bad rap from some musical people from the church I came from. I took that book off the shelf about a month ago. Here's a man who's dedicated his life, 40, 50 plus years of studying God's music, got his doctorate from the Eastman School of Music at the University of Rochester. No small deal. He got his PhD from a secular school, so he had some clout with Christians. He's done research for a long, long, long time about music and where we are. And his book called Music in the Balance is eye-opening. Now, it was written about 1990. 2000, that's 10 years. 2010, that's 20 years. 2018, that's 28 years. So we wouldn't say that the information in there is updated. But he is clear when he says that secular researchers write all the time about the effects of certain type of music. He quotes secular sources just so he wouldn't be labeled as a right-wing fundamentalist wacko. So he quotes secular sources over and over and over and over again and wonders why. Is the world so aware of music and its impact, and Christians and followers of Christ are so blind? Why are we so ignorant? We want to be. We want to be. Right? I mean, that's the bottom line. If you want to know something about something, you will. If you don't, you won't. It's that simple. Revelation 3, the Spirit of God is speaking to John the Apostle and talking about the seven churches that represent not only the seven churches during that particular time. Let me just use this as a, if I could, as a plug, as an advertisement for the local church. God is not done with the local church. If the last book of the Bible has seven local churches named, then what is up with us thinking we have a better idea than the local church? Are there problems with the local church? Yes. Are there problems with marriage? Yes. But not with God's idea of marriage, not God's idea of the church. This is where everything gets purified. This is where everything gets tested and examined. God is not done with the church. Revelation 3, church number 7, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 15. God in all his divine omniscience knows the motive, reason, inclination, desire, and purpose of our service, work, and sacrifice for the Lord himself, and the cause of his kingdom program. God's desire is that we would be on one side or the other of his kingdom program, either hot or cold. Verse 16. Because we are divided and neither hot nor cold, but in the middle, we're stuck. We're double-minded. Our commitments and our convictions are lukewarm. Therefore, God is essentially sick of us. Verse 17. Apparently, one of the major issues is what we believe to be our real spiritual condition. We say that we are rich, We say that we're increased with goods. We say that we have need of nothing. Therefore, according to God and His assessment of our spiritual condition, we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Therefore, we are ailing, afflicted, betrayed, brokenhearted, deceived, dejected, despairing, destroyed, disoriented, downcast. We're gloomy, hopeless, hurting, ignorant, injured, mournful, pathetic, pitiable, sad, sickly, snarred, sorrowful, suffering, tormented, tortured, troubled, and wounded. Isn't that an encouraging sermon? So let's go to some easy listening. Make us feel good. I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to make fun of music, and I'm not trying to downplay what certain music can do for someone that is depressed, someone that's lonely, somebody that is sorrowful, but we must understand that we are spirit, soul, body. You can make me really, really happy when I'm really, really hungry, giving me a sandwich. That does not feed my spirit. It feeds my flesh first. I get happy because my blood sugar goes up. But that really has nothing to do with my relationship with God. Unless my eating becomes something that's displeasing to God. Which it can be, can't it? Can our sleeping turn into something displeasing to God? Now, sleep is a need, right? We need to sleep. We need to eat to live. But we can cross the line of physical needs. We can cross the line of soul needs. I need to know. I need to know. So we can be obsessed with knowing. But the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. So if our idol is knowing, if our idol is education, if our idol is the wisdom of the world, God won't be happy with that. If we are obsessed with feeling, oh, I feel this, I feel that, I'm such an emotional basket. Our idol, our focus of God can be distorted because it's all about me and how I feel, as opposed to what the Bible says I am in Christ. You might feel bad. Okay, you feel bad. But you're a child of God. So you feel one way, but there's a fact. The Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a fact.
Well, I don't feel God's presence.
Okay, that doesn't mean He ain't there.
Yeah, but I don't feel it.
It's not about you feeling it. It's about the fact that produces the faith. The fact produces the faith. You can have an upper gastric problem and not feel good. But that doesn't change the fact that God loves you. Right? How about your conscience? How's that doing? Your conscience? Does that play anything into our worship? Yeah, it does. What about if we have unconfessed known sin? You think that's going to interfere with our worship? What about our intuition? What I mean by our intuition is something that God leads you to know by not studying that particular thing it's God's Holy Spirit directing us and guiding us. How many of you have ever prayed for God's guidance? Okay. And the other part of our spirit is our ability to worship. So there are things clearly designed by Satan to impact and destroy our spirit, soul, and body. What could those things be? John said, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We could start there. That's a good place to start. Let me give you one passage in the book of Psalms, and we'll close and we'll pray. Psalm 141. We've said that musical taste, musical preference, obviously is important. But the Word of God and God's truth has really nothing to do with our preference or our opinion. A few days ago, I read this verse and it hit me like a 2x4 right between the eyes. Psalm 141, let's start in verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of mine hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Sounds like James chapter 3, the whole chapter. Verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. That includes music. To practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their... Oh man, another verse on food. Isn't that what that says? That's a verse on overeating. That's a verse to alert us. Paula's is no good. I give that company more advertising than any company I think. Beware of the dainties. For you, it might be chocolate. I don't know. But everybody's got an addiction on that tongue. Don't we? I mean, I hear guys talk about barbecue that they had from Kansas City like 35 years ago. Man, I'll never forget that. Okay, verse 5. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. Does that come naturally? I don't think so. At least not for me. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. That's a verse that talks about teachability. Wouldn't that be great if we had a heart and an attitude like that? Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, that it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. There's a stronghold in our lives. It's called music. We need to unravel it. We need to expose it. We need to show it biblical truth. We need to do battle. We're battling for our heart. Let's pray. Lord, we've talked all year about the heart of worship. And yet, we would have no insight at all into the heart of worship unless we have experienced a new heart. Lord, without salvation, without redemption, without pardon, without the cross, without the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we'd be in our sin. We'd be hopeless. We might have a form of godliness by being in church tonight. But on the inside, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell there because we haven't been born again. We haven't been redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in that spot this evening. Maybe you're here tonight and you are known, you're saved, you know the Lord, you've been redeemed and born again. And quite frankly, you're not happy with the preacher. You're not happy with this theme. You're not happy with this subject. And you basically want to say, leave my music alone. Sounds like a toddler. Having a little meltdown. Or a teenager putting their heels down. Lord, I pray that we be like the deer panting after the water brook. Lord, there might be things in our lives that we are really craving. A career, a house, a mate, a family, peace, financial security, whatever it might be. And Lord, those are transient. Those are movable things. And how we ignore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thy neighbors thyself. And maybe if we put those things in order, God can take care of the finances. God can take care of the college degree. God can take care of our relationships. God can take care of those other things. Once we put our priorities in the right order. Lord, I pray that we might take a moment and ask that you would cleanse our eyes, open our eyes, Lord, about this incredible musical deception taking place, not only in the world, but in our own personal lives. Help us to see clearly, Lord. Reveal to us the true and the good and the beautiful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if anybody in this room had a hymn that we should sing right now, what would it be? The whole sermon was on music. I don't want you to look. You already know what it is. So if you don't know, then don't say it. But if God's led you to say, Pastor, we need to sing this song now. Is it? All right. We'll sing that song. Stand up. Let's not lie, though. What number is that? 493. I'm losing my voice, so I'm shutting this off.